can we do it like we do it?
He hath risen. No, let's not do that.
No, keep it in. Keep it in. That's the beginning of it. Yes.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Hey, Jesus was Jewish. Of course you should be saying that. Come on.
Yeah. I do like pastels. And yes, I do like lots and lots of colorful sugary candy. So it is kind of my holiday.
Sure.
It is. That and Halloween. I bet you are more of like a cool spring skin tone. That's your color palette, I would say.
Yeah.
Like a cool winter, perhaps.
Easter works for me.
Yeah, I think so.
You also like to find hidden treasures too. So
also
like
true.
Finding Easter eggs full of money and candy is like totally up your alley.
Let me in your house. I'll find treasures everywhere. I'll be like, did you notice that behind that? Why were you looking behind that door? Don't ask questions. No.
Hopefully everybody had a nice Easter if they celebrate. Or also, it is the month of Ramadan as well. So all of our Muslim listeners, I hope they are enjoying Ramadan. I mean, it's hard. Well, it's hard to during the day, but at night you feast.
So. Yeah.
My friend Reem, she complains about what they call Ramadan breath. So apparently there's a – because you can't even drink anything. Nothing can pass your lips during the day. So apparently your breath, because of this, your breath starts to stink. That's what she says. So I take
it's kind of like,
it's
kind of like religiously mandated intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that could be right up your alley too. Gosh, you really are a man for all religions, Jordan. I really
I'm just
think
a
so.
Person of the world. I'm Dorit. I'm like Dorit.
<You're Dorit. laughs> I mean, we don't know where your accent comes from. Sutton. I can't even imitate it.
Sutton. Yeah.
Sutton.
How do you say it? Like Sutton. Sutton? Like with a D?
You put a different emphasis on a different syllable than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I'm from the South, so I do say it more like Sutton, like with almost like a Sutton. D. And he's from the Midwest, so he says it a little bit like me, but not as much. I think you put a little bit more of a T on there.
I just call her Boo. I don't even call her Sutton. Why would I call her Sutton to her face? That's weird.
No, exactly.
Baby girl.
Miss Strack. Well, you know who's not having a good Easter weekend? Well, none of them in this family at this point. But you saw the news that came out. Straight from Newport Beach. David Bedore. Yet another traffic incident in the...
With the Bedore family.
The Bedore family. DWB, driving while Bedore. I mean, no, yeah. I guess he got hit. It happened like 2 months ago, but
yeah, it was
finally
like,
being released.
I think it was February 4th, I want to say. I could be wrong about that, but it was early February.
Yeah, his at least wasn't a DUI like his ex. It was driving recklessly, about 100 miles an hour on the freeway.
Jesus. What freeway?
I don't go below Pico often. What goes?
But what you goes read about it. Come on.
I don't. The 405. Like,
was he on that toll road? What is it? Like, not Sand Canyon, but anyway, I don't know.
I mean,
57.
I mean, by the. I love, though, that this is happening while this season of Real Housewives Orange County is filming. Not that this will make it into the cut, but what a Shannon event after event.
It will 100% make it into the cut. Like, she's going to, like, have a talk with her daughters. Something's going to happen about, like, you need to be careful. Like, oh, your father was so mad at me and didn't want you girls driving with me. Mm. Now look at him. Da-da. Something like that is going to happen. She's going to make something of it. God bless her, but she will. Yeah.
You almost said God rest her soul.
I did. Well, it comes off of our PCP post today from Easter. She is risen.
I'm honestly, though, I didn't think this one was such a big... My thing is, I believe he drives a Porsche.
Those don't go under 100 on the freeway.
If he was in a Ferrari, fine. Then I would go, okay, maybe... Or like, you know, what are those? A Bugatti. Fine. Mm-hmm. But like a Porsche, I'm sorry. No.
Well, like how many?
Not the German car that pretends to be Italian. I don't think so.
There's probably, though, in the Orange County legal system, just a whole office, a whole department dedicated constantly to midlife crisis divorce men and Porsches doing 100 on the freeway. I don't think his is as unique in that region.
I mean, even if he had a hooker and some blow in there, it probably would be like de rigueur.
Give Shannon credit. She put on quite a show with her traffic this year.
It's true.
We have security footage. We have all kinds.
We have a dog. Canine concussions.
She pulled out all the stops.
She went full housewife on her DUI. Yeah. Oh my God, I shouldn't be joking about this. Oh, we're going to hell.
She earned that orange.
Oh God, man. Well, speaking of men behaving badly, Mike Shahood from Shaws of Sunset is finally being sued in civil court by his ex-girlfriend or ex-fiance, Paulina Ben Cohen. But people are also confused. He does have criminal charges are possibly pending, I believe. So, but this is just the civil suit that is coming out for domestic violence. We heard rumblings of it this last year, but the thing is that this is what I just go. If you are a fan of Shaws of Sunset and you watch the show, you know, especially the last season of the show, Destiny and MJ tried to talk to Paulina about Mike. Like, they knew what was up. They knew what was up. They knew that he was no good and that he was violent and that she was not kind of like the same person that she was before. I mean, Destiny 100%. She went hardcore. Like, she in fact pissed off a lot of people. Not just like on, you know, viewers, but like people within that group for how hard she went in her convictions. But she was 100% right, y'all. She was right.
I mean, we've seen, I think TMZ had the pictures, like some kind of indoor ring cams that they had screenshots. He's grabbing her by the neck. It's violent.
It's very violent. And it's in her daughter's room and her daughter's bedroom. So it's like nanny cam type of stuff.
Yeah. Nanny. You know, they blame the other cast members do blame him with that episode for the end of their show. Like Reza and stuff, I've spoken to them and stuff, and they always reference that. Like, yeah. And that's why after a shot, basically that was the nail in the coffin. Shortly after he was arrested for domestic violence, they announced they're discontinuing Shaws. And then moving forward, MJ, Reza, and Gigi tried putting together like a spinoff, kind of like The Valley to VPR, that would show, because those core three have like a friendship, a real connection, and they thought a more positive path forward. I don't think it got greenlit. We haven't heard anything about it out there, but they do. They consider Mike's domestic violence a nail in the coffin for Shaws.
I think it's true. Well, you know, I love MJ. I love Gigi. Reza, it kind of depends. I think he's a little toxic yet fun on television. I would like to see them. But I think MJ, being such a fan favorite on this past season of Traitors and like what happened, that mm-hmm. might give it more life and maybe more likeliness that like,
yeah,
come back. I don't know. That would be nice. I wouldn't mind seeing them back on my Bravo screen, at least
because yeah, they're still relevant. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, like MJ's having this resurgence and stuff. Now, maybe now it could happen. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like their idea was shut down. You know, shows linger in the mm-hmm. process for a while.
Or maybe they get a Peacock show. I mean, because also it was kind of nice to see MJ not being so like angry mean all the mm-hmm. time, like she kind of would be on the show. So if it is like kind of the night we get to see the nicer, calmer version of MJ, I mean, I'd still like the fiery side of MJ, but you know, just to see,
you know, they're a really cute family. My MJ, Tommy, and their kid, goes to like preschool or kindergarten with my friend who follows us on here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's listening. I'm not going to name names. You know how discreet I am.
No, always.
No, but she got her kids in preschool with MJ's kid. And they wrote like a little, MJ and Tommy wrote a kid's book. It's a kind of like you read to your kid at night. So
cute.
Didn't know he knew how to read, but apparently, no. Very good.
God, 3 steps forward and then 5 steps back.
It's a good reading. No, but honestly, I think they're nice people, though. I do. And I loved her mother.
Oh my God.
Vita. So did I. So did I.
Vita?
Yeah, Nate.
I'll get around to Shaw's in like 6 to 7 years. We'll circle
Vita's
back.
Vita's kind of like my spirit animal. She is.
Oh, she's judgmental. Tough as nails. She's so judgy. She talk about a person with no filter. Oh my gosh. Imagine just judgy with no filter, but she kind of gets away with it because English is not her first language and she's old. Like mm-hmm. it's just like it's so true. It's like you're not gonna also you just know she will cut you to the quick. Yeah, in like probably like 3 different languages and you know no matter what. Shit. Oh. I had something come up just the other day. So I had a listener DM me and they DM'd me a repost of Teresa's podcast, and it was a TikTok post basically. It's Teresa's podcast, and it was when this past week apparently her podcast co-host, whose name is Melissa, announced that she was pregnant, and she announces that she's pregnant, and that basically like she's had several miscarriages apparently, and it's been the long hard thing, and Teresa couldn't be less interested or less happy for her co-host whatsoever in this video. Like she, and the first thing she's like, oh yeah, I know, yeah, like not oh really, congratulations, not like oh my gosh, it was like oh yeah, I know. And she's like, you knew? She's like, oh yeah, I know. And she literally moves off camera to go pick up something to the side. Totally not interested. Totally not paying attention. And the other woman's like, how'd you know? She's like, I just knew. I just knew. I was like, no, you didn't, bitch. You're just so unhappy. Yeah. Everybody's like, she's so unhappy. And this listener of ours told me she works in like in a service industry that has to deal with like glamour and stuff like that. And so she's actually had to deal with many of the housewives over the last few years. And she's worked with at least one housewife per franchise. And she's had to deal with Teresa. And she said, Teresa's is the most entitled housewife. An entitled celebrity, because she also deals with other celebrities and like A-list, A, B, C, D-list celebrities. So she's like, she's the most entitled. She's so rude. And like, she made a comparison. Like, okay, like think of like who is the who you would think, besides Teresa, would be the like hardest, most difficult housewife to work with.
Vicky Gunvalson.
I was going to say Jordan Ross Myers, but okay. Vicky, sure. Vicky. Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of, yeah.
I mean, okay. So like take, like she would work with like, rather work with like a bazillion Vickys than she would rather work with one Teresa. I'm not saying that she said that, but that was like the, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like
that's
it was like she'd rather work with like the entire cast of Miami and first season Dallas all at one time. Like, it's like also let's throw in Leah Black and Jeff Lewis at the same time. Like, she would take all of them instead at one time.
Sprinkle in a little Ramona Singer just for
right. Wow. Little Ramona Singer who needs the only bedroom. Like, do that, and that's, and she would rather take all of them instead of 1 ounce of Teresa Giudice. So yeah.
Oh, that's high praise. Yeah.
I mean, at least Teresa's number one in that book.
Yeah.
But that's the tea that was spilled about that.
Tea
about tree from our listener who asked to remain anonymous, and so they shall remain anonymous. But yes.
Teresa posted a thing on Instagram this weekend that I showed you guys of her going to the Nicki Minaj concert. She was dressed in her, I believe it was pink because it was Nicki Minaj. She was so filtered that I, before sending you guys that, I had to check to make sure it was her and not one of her mini me daughters, because they all look like her. And I was staring at it. Her face is so filtered. I was like, is that Teresa?
She has some of the heaviest filters and Facetune and all that stuff. Okay, I use her as an example because I do social media for some of these people. I use her stuff as an example of why you have to lean towards natural. And I don't like apps like that. Adjust the light. There are certain things you can do to enhance a person in a bad photo. Like, sometimes it's just the lighting. But Teresa does not. She looks like an AI blow-up doll version of herself.
Yeah, Bratz doll type of look.
That's a very good description. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least face-wise. She's.
I don't know how she can post that with a straight face. Just like.
Because she's DeLulu.
No.
She completely, like. You like look up DeLulu in the Urban Dictionary, and there's that picture of Teresa there next to, and then it's compared with like an unretouched photo of her. Mm-hmm. It's like DeLulu, Teresa Giudice on Instagram.
You introduced that word to us this weekend. You actually said look it up on Urban Dictionary, and I did, and I was like, that's exactly how it should. DeLulu. Delusional. I was like, oh, that's what the kids are saying these days. Okay. It's like Riz. Totally confused when I'm old. I'm like, okay. It's just short. Got it.
I'm glad that I could introduce that to you because it was several years ago that you taught me about that's a banger and it slaps. Because I didn't know about those. So
I'm young. I'm cool. I'm hip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is just me paying it forward.
Also, I'm of an age, we are all of an age, where it used to be you'd look up on Urban Dictionary for other things. They weren't just slang. It was real. It was some real slang. Yes. Now it's just like, is that what that's, you look up what the kids are saying these days. Okay, cool. DeLulu. All right.
Well, I think we should give our listeners a moment to look up some Urban Dictionary slang as long as they're not driving.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a quick break.
Welcome back. Time to hit Vanderpump Rules.
Woo!
Yay!
I know she's not a fan favorite, and I know people think she's way too quirky, even though I find her adorkable. But why are all the ladies like going on full Heathers on Joe? Like, that was like cruel.
Okay. I do feel bad for Joe, the way they treat her. I mean, it sounds like she's done. Ariana said you have to remember that this girl was like facilitating the affair while hanging out with me.
No, I get that. I get Ariana has beef for that, like kind of concealing the affair. And Katie just seems to hate whoever Ariana hates. But like, what's Sheena's deal? Like, Sheena was, she was like obsessed with Joe wearing a hat. She kept talking about it nonstop. And it was weird. Mm.
And that was the thing, is that it seemed like Sheena was doing more of it than Katie or Ariana. In fact, like Sheena was like, oh, here she comes, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, are you a 12-year-old boy? Like, what the fuck is that? And Katie and Ariana wouldn't even look her direction, wouldn't do that. And Sheena just kept giving like the side eye and talking to me like, oh my God, here she comes. Or, oh my God, like, why would she do that? Da-da-da-da. And Lala was kind of like, okay, calm down, people. But yeah, like Sheena was the worst, and it just seemed like it seemed like a being a try hard of like trying hard to be, oh, am I supposed to be like a mean girl here?
Well, I don't know. The reason why I think Sheena did it was a guilty conscience, because we know she's playing both sides. She's a people pleaser in the group, and she knows she's sliding into Tom Schwartz's friend zone again. So in front of Ariana, she's going to make this big display of loyalty to her, because she's playing both sides. That's how I took it. She was overcompensating.
Oh, yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, it was just cruel. It came across as very cruel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt bad for Joe, too, because honestly, I don't want to make any diagnosis or anything, but she seems a little off.
Well, I've seen a lot of folks.
Socially awkward.
There's a lot of folks on Twitter I saw who were just, like, asking if she's on the spectrum, which is not something anybody should be online diagnosing. It seems to me, though, it seems to me she gets quirkier the more nervous she gets or more stressed out she gets. So that just makes me think that she might just be nervous. Because
I found her acutely aware of the cameras. There were a couple of times when I noticed that she looked at the camera. She's very aware. So I do think that she's nervous. And I think it's like, it's almost like a discharge of energy to be like weird like that. I still don't necessarily like it, because it still comes off, though, as like, look at me, I'm quirky, I'm trying to like be, but I'm still like the, like, still look at me. I don't know. Like, I can't, I don't,
it's
like
a little
her. I
did, like,
I felt
new
bad
girl,
for her.
Zoe Dish.
Adorable.
Not as cute
yes.
as her, but like, there's still, I mean, I just, it was. Yeah, I thought it was just uncomfortable to watch. I feel like on both sides, because also I feel like too, it's like, I think she's also uncomfortable because she knows why at least Ariana has a reason not to like her. And I think she knows why Katie has a reason not to like her, because also she basically moved in with Schwartz just a couple of months after like their breakup, and was like kind of hooking up with him and is hooking up with him intermittently, and had sent her text before about like, you know, so it's, I do think it's very uncomfortable for her to be there, but I also think in some ways she's put herself in that position. She didn't have to be on camera. She didn't have to be on the show.
Yeah.
It's just, she acts so much differently when it's just her and Schwartz, when they're on that swan boat.
Does she?
She was not as quirky. She had that delightful turtle story where she lost her turtle in a sewer. There was that real subtle, I mean, it wasn't subtle. They bang you over the head with it at the beginning when Schwartz was putting on his like facial mask, and they quickly showed the door that had two bathrobes, a pink and a blue one. So they weren't even being subtle with that. Like, oh, he has a lady friend over.
Yep.
You know what? I mean, until we find out something horrible, I enjoy her.
I think she's probably like a one season.
Oh, probably.
Oh, yeah. Because the other thing why I think those girls were so harsh was not, I mean, okay, Sheena, we know, like I said, overcompensating. But as a group, I think they're like, no, bitch, we have enough backstabbers and cheaters in our group on our show. They're making it clear she's not going to be welcome into the show. They want to keep her off the show. I think they're hoping she won't even get a reunion seat. So I think they're just like laying down the law. Like, which, we'll make, I mean, you cry, don't ever come back.
She's not the level that would get a reunion seat, is she? She's not, I mean, she doesn't seem like she's on it.
They're trying to
gotcha. I got it.
Look, Raquel
being proactive
started off as a little thing and became a big part of the show. So I think they're just making sure, like, protecting their territory, and not just the men, not just, I don't mean Schwartz, I mean their show, their income.
Did you see that James is selling merch now? Sloppy Joe merch. Mm-hmm. He was so proud of his Sloppy Joe line. It was funny. Even Schwartz laughed. It was fine. But now James on his website is selling Sloppy Joe t-shirts. It's a picture of, it's like a cartoon Sloppy Joe with eyes, and the top it says Sloppy Joe. Under it says there's something about her. It's kind of funny, but it was also kind of messed up that he admitted he did not get her permission, or he's backtracking. He says now he's going to split all proceeds from it with her. But she posted about it, like being like, guys, this isn't cool. You know, it was really a funny tasteless one-off joke, but you're like making money off of it now.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I don't think she's going to be Daryl. No. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that though, I mean, we had one of my favorite parts of this episode was, okay, it came two sides to it. Katie finds out that Schwartz made out or kissed
12 years ago.
Sheena, 10, 12 years ago. But my favorite part, obviously what came out, is that Sheena tracks 56 people's location.
That's psychotic behavior. Mm-hmm. There's two sides to that. One, that's psychotic. But also, if you're her friend and you still have your location turned on, that's on you. You know she's tracking you. That's on you. Like if Max did not want to be tracked at Katie's apartment in the morning, turn that shit off, man.
Well, obviously Katie didn't want to know, want to be tracked. So she didn't have her tracking. Max did though.
That's wild to do that to your friend.
The revelation that Sheena tracks 56 locations took me back to like the season 3 reunion of Real Housewives of New York, where Jill Zarin let it slip that she has Google alerts set on all her castmates.
See, now that to me, that's not as creepy as tracking somebody's phone.
This was so many years ago though, when it was new, and he just kind of looked like, I didn't know you could set Google alerts.
Okay.
She just kind of let it slip, and it was like, you're a little
Well, I actually thought that Katie was handling the news that Sheena and Schwartz made out like a decade ago, but while Schwartz and her were together, like, mm-hmm. I thought she was handling it pretty well, like compared to like, you know, how Katie would normally handle stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought she handled it pretty well, and like she went and she had a rational conversation. She wasn't getting heated with Sheena. She just was like trying to be like, okay, let's get to the bottom of this. But she wasn't buying Sheena's bullshit very easily. She was kind of like, but she wasn't like going to be like, okay, I'm not going to let this ruin everything.
Yeah.
but Sheena was trying to sell her some like stone cold bullshit.
It's like, I wish, I'm glad she went to Sheena. Because I don't think Schwartz owes Katie any more apologies. And I don't think they need to sit down at this point. Right now, that's her ex-husband. She can assume he was a piece of garbage. He doesn't owe her answers anymore. I think they've been divorced longer than they were married. But Sheena is still her friend and a core part of her life. So I'm not saying the guy is off scot-free. I'm just like, she needs to move on from mothering him or whatever their weird relationship was. But Sheena did owe her an answer. Yeah. So I thought that was the right way to go.
How many of the 56 friends she tracks do you think are her best friends? Like 55 of them? I think everybody 50? But Schwartz. Is it everybody but Schwartz that she tracks are her best friends?
This aired Tuesday night. I would have liked to see Sheena's inbox Wednesday morning when she starts getting like 54 alerts that their locations have been turned off.
Yeah, you're doing what to me now?
You're like, Well, that's something, listen, I thought of while I was watching VPR for the second time. And, you know, it came out that Katie took Max Boyens, former TomTom manager and former VPR cast member for a season. And apparently is also one of Tom Schwartz's best friends. But that Max and Katie went home together to Katie's place and, you know, food got in flagrante. But I all of a sudden realized, I was like, Sheena acted very innocent. Like, oh my God, why did you, Brock, why did you tell him? Da, da, da. But I was like, wait a minute. You saw them flirting. You saw them leave together. You totally were checking his location to see definitely that night and then definitely in the morning. And you definitely were going to, like, you and Brock were talking about it and you knew Brock would say something on camera if not, you guys decided to say something to take the heat off of you because you thought the heat was going to be really on you about making out with Schwartz 10 years ago, even though I don't think it was. And now you've made a bigger deal, although I think it puts you in a messier place to be like, why are you telling on people like this? Like, Schwartz told on himself. Like, you're telling on somebody else here. So, yeah, I think Sheena did that on purpose to try to take the heat off of her. That is my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. I think
she's right. A bone collector. She doesn't get as drunk as the others. She loves to meddle, play both sides, go side to side. She knows.
Yep.
The thing with Ariana's dog, the back and forth with Tom, where Tom, the dog getting super sick with the $6,000 bill, vet bill, that Tom claims that the dog got into Ariana's room and ate something, and then Ariana's claiming that Tom locked the dog in the room. But the one thing that caught my attention that I heard some about the next day is when Sandoval was talking about all the things. Is Maya, is that the name of the dog, Maya?
Yeah.
Sandoval was talking about all the things that Maya's eaten over the years, just that she's not supposed to eat. And one thing she said was, yeah, and there was that one time that Maya ate like 500 laxative pills and then they just kept it going. But I was watching it thinking, why do you have 500 laxative pills just sitting around? That's weird, especially if it's out in the open where a dog can get it. And then Kristen, the next day or a day later on her podcast, was talking about how she felt the need the entire time she was with Sandoval to be super skinny. And she said that she took laxatives when she was with him to stay thin. But she did kind of imply that Sandoval sort of encouraged her. She didn't say that Sandoval made her, but it was kind of like, oh, he kind of made me think I should take these to stay thin. So that's creepy. Like, ooh. I mean, I assume that also means Sandoval himself might be taking them, but that's, I mean, nobody keeps around five, and he made a point of saying 500. Nobody keeps that around.
Yeah, that was his.
You don't, that's a giant, giant thing of laxatives.
It's like a Costco kit.
But they just kept it.
Sell like laxatives in a bottle?
I don't know,
I feel like they only sell them in like, you know, sheets, like push sheets.
Yeah,
you
like
know what I mean.
I don't know, but I think he was just telling the guys that, and they just kept it moving. Nobody thought to say, "Dude, why did you have 500 laxative pills sitting out? That's weird."
That is weird. I saw that on the after show too, and I was like, "What?" Oh, well, I mean, somebody else said something about like the Tom had. No, I don't remember the Tom. Going into their to Ariana's bedroom, their old bedroom, to get something or to find something, and
it was the AC broke, and the unit was in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was in Ariana's room, which apparently she has the master. He said it was like the primary, so he had to get in there to let the repairman.
The fact that like he, you know. It doesn't sound like he left the dog in there on purpose, like it was an accident, but it's also like the whole thing of like, dude, that's also like your dog too, kind of like it's her dog, but it's also, it's been your dog. Like you wouldn't know if you were at home, you'd be like, wait a minute, where's the dog? Where's the dog? But the dog was in there for hours. So again, it kind of goes to that mindset of like, he's all about him. And like, he doesn't clean up after himself. He has Ann clean up after him. He says tells everybody, I buy the batteries and toilet paper. It turns out Ann buys the batteries and toilet paper. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I had another point to that, but I don't think it's really that important because I can't remember it.
At least it's been really fun these last two episodes to see Tom try to flirt because he's so bad at it. I understand he hasn't been single in, what, 17 years if you count both relationships?
He's been single while in relationships.
Oh, sure, sure.
You get what I mean.
Sure, but he's not flirting. Openly. But not this episode, the one before, those two blonde girls in the pool.
Oh, God.
That was painful. That was like Curb Your Enthusiasm level painful, watching him try to flirt. And his main flirting line was like, yeah, my roommate, girlfriend of 10 years. That was like his go-to. He used it twice.
So painful.
Yeah.
But speaking of painful, watching that breath work session.
Oh my God. Lala thought he was dying.
Yeah.
She walked in. Yeah. An emotional orgasm, he said.
I mean, no. I think all of us felt uncomfortable watching that. Like, I was just like, it kind of was like that emoji with like the two fingers doing this. Like, I was like, this is a horror movie. What the hell?
Yeah, if I walked into somebody's house and heard that, I would walk. I mean, Lala was brave for even continue to walk in. I would be right out the door.
I
might
not
even open the door.
Laugh.
I think she was concerned at first.
Well, honestly, it looked so, I mean, granted, I don't believe anything that man does, but it definitely felt extremely performative to me. He knows the camera's there. I mean, no matter what, who cares that he's blindfolded and he has headphones on, he's only listening to them. He knows the camera's there. He knows Lala's going to come in and watch the end of this. It's so fucking performative. It's so performative. Look how much emotional anguish I am in that I'm just going to let it all out. Da-da-da. Somebody's here. Oh, what? Huh? You know, not even on like a, oh, hold on. I need like nothing. Like, it's so performative. It's so fake AF. No.
Lala's role in the show and future came together for me watching this episode because I really liked her. She's playing all sides. I would say she's production's voice. She's the voice of reason, production's voice, playing all sides, doing everything. And I realized who she is this season. She's Tamara. She's the Tamara. She's there on a mission to earn her check. She is going to everyone, collecting information about everyone. Everyone thinks she's their friend. And like the Sheena, the juice story, Schwartz and Sheena. She's your friend while you're getting a smoothie, and then she goes and tells the other person to create a storyline on behalf. It was good. She's a pro.
Look at you, and look at her. Oh, yeah.
But the other part is I had an epiphany, one of those Lisa Rinna math moments about her future, and she's totally transitioning to the valley.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is clear on the way going, part of her ability to go from group to group and kind of stay loosely neutral is that she thinks she's matured beyond that. And that's the whole voice of reason thing. Which, I don't know. But it occurred to me, like, how could she join the valley if it's about parenting and home life more so than VPR? Ocean can't film. Randall made sure of that. Yet now she's announced she'll be having her very own child by donation, and she'll be 100% the parent. Custody.
I love how you can't even say sperm. He shakes his head, listeners. You can't see it, but he's bright red, and he's shaking his head. He's like, nope, I cannot say that word.
Actually, that was something I noticed both on VPR and on the Valley this week. I feel validated when Schwartz was getting the news that Max and Katie had hooked up, and they were like, wait, do you mean that? He goes, touched pee-pees.
Yeah, I thought of you
and
too.
And then on the Valley, when Jax had to apologize again for pantsing the guy, he was like, I'm sorry your pee-pee was out. Mm-hmm. It's like, see?
Two men after your own heart.
Yep.
We're an emotionally mature man-child trio.
Have you looked up and gotten all the specs for Lala's new house that she bought? The address? Do you have the address?
I don't, sadly. I mean, it was 3.1. I haven't bothered. I got all of Ariana's for last week. I know she's in Sherman Oaks, which is, like we've discussed, a little bit. I always complain about the Valley Village location because it's a regular, normal neighborhood. They just bought really big homes in it. But addresses like Sherman Oaks, which is next to Kyle and Dorit's Encino, those are more prestigious addresses. Like, I'd spend $3 million there. Just not like, so it was like her, Sheena and Ariana. I'm sorry, Sheena and Lala. I don't know if it's the same exact neighborhood, but they both bought those modern farm homes in Sherman Oaks. So
it's all the same house. Everybody lives literally in the same house.
You pointed that out.
I like the theory that listener/follower Wasting Time with Bravo said, where she thinks that everybody does live in the same house. They're just showing three literal sides of the house as different facades. Right. But they're living like it's Big Brother. They're living in the same house. I like that theory.
Yeah.
It's a very good theory. It's very, very good. Oh. Well, do we have anything more about VPR?
No, I don't think so. We got plenty of thoughts on the Valley, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then let's move to the Valley.
I was not here with you guys last week to talk about it, but I'm actually kind of enjoying it, to be honest, even though I was thrown off the first like 30 seconds of it where they were introducing all these people and it was just too jarring to my, it was too much, too many people being introduced at once. I didn't know if any of them were new or what, but it's so funny to me that a show that in theory is supposed to be about the grown-up adults, like VPR, even though they're all the same age, VPR, like the people who haven't grown up yet, these are the grown-ups who moved out to the Valley and have kids. Yet after two episodes, the only two storylines that have gone across both episodes are Jesse twisting Kristen's nipple and Jax pantsing Danny. The least mature family, it's straight up high school, middle school even. Mm. And those plot lines are going into a second episode. Like, it's absurd. This is not something adults are doing. I kind of enjoy
it. They're hitting each other's pee-pees.
They're hitting each other's pee-pees, yes.
I mean, dare I say that perhaps millennials are just the arrested development generation? Like...
Maybe. I have not, but just like they're saying on the show, I have not thought about anybody pantsing somebody else in a great many years, in a very long time.
I had an issue with that one, that I was waiting for the women to bring it up when like Brittany and the wife sat down, and it was a there were little kids at that party.
Yeah,
and that's to me immediately was like, it's so inappropriate. You guys, we don't know where those kids were. There were toddlers running around and there's a naked man standing there. That's where, like, they were talking about embarrassment and childish behavior. I'm like, no, that's a straight up like sex crime.
That's a very it's good like point. It's
Megan's Law.
All the characters made a point, especially the women, of saying, oh, we didn't see anything. Don't worry, we didn't see anything. But there were some kids who may have seen something, which.
Yeah. That would be a big production, a legal issue for production. Child was exposed to that.
Also, like Jack saying, like, "Well, I didn't know he didn't wear underwear." It's a fucking bathing suit, you moron! Yeah. You're at a pool party. He wore a bathing suit. What do you like? Do you wear underwear with your bathing suit? No,
it comes with it built in.
Right? Apparently so. Like, I don't know. I don't wear men's bathing suits, but yeah, that's what I hear.
The thing that was not addressed, and he totally slid on it. It was Brock's idea. Brock told Jax to pants him. Mm. Brock totally slid. Nobody, he just backed away. He was the Homer Simpson backing back into the bush. He did not, Brock was like, you should pull his pants down. Yep. Mm-hmm. Everybody's like, oh, it's Jax. Of course it was Jax's idea.
Well, apparently next week Kristen's gonna get into it with a bunch of the ladies over something that was said but wasn't said. So it's basically like, honestly, Nate, this is peak Kristen. This is like classic peak Kristen, like saying people said something that they didn't say, or maybe they did say but didn't want said, or like whatever is gonna happen. I'm so excited for this.
It looks pretty. Because honestly, up until now, there's been, and like again, those were the two main plot lines. There's been nothing. So I'm in here for it.
I liked the. Have you seen the preview of it?
The new
of
one?
What the confrontation's about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just save it for now.
Also, I'm just gonna go out on a limb here after two episodes. I don't like Luke. I don't
No. I'm with you. I don't trust
Bad vibes. I don't think that he's a good guy whatsoever. I could say a lot of things right now, but I don't want to say them. I'm going to keep them. I'll say them to you guys privately, but I don't feel like saying it on the pod. But I just feel like even though we know that she's still with him now, currently in this time and space continuum, but I think there's so many times I really hate that I know that Jax is right, because he is right about a lot of stuff. He's one of those people who's such a dick and he does the wrong thing so much, but he is right. He reads people very, very well because he's one of those terrible people too.
He gets it.
Yeah. And he's just willing to say it out loud. Whereas like other people are like, no, but like, he knows what's up, and he knows that this Luke guy isn't right. And this Luke guy is not right. There's something up with him. There's a lot I could say, but it's not just Kristen's history, because Kristen has poor picking skills. But she does tend to pick the same guys. But this guy, you just get a vibe off
killer
of him.
Vibes.
You don't know him, Nate, and you already knew. You don't know Kristen's history. But you already knew.
It seemed, and I'm not trying to downplay what Jesse did to her was, you know, it twisting her nipple was obviously extremely inappropriate. But she kind of just played it off, sort of being like, "Yeah, it was a weird thing to do. Whatever. Let's move on." But Luke was he even said, he's like, "My blood is boiling right now." Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. He went from 0 to 100 real fast.
Mm. Yeah. It's not
like
it's not
Jesse good. Didn't even he didn't remember doing it, which I totally believe, because it's inappropriate. I'm not defending it, but you could tell he so totally did it as like a reflex. She did to him and he immediately did it back, and he's like, I don't remember doing that. And I honestly believe that that's true. Again, inappropriate. Jesse kind of cracks me up, because both he and Jack, and again, like you said, this is my first experience with Jax, both Jesse and Jax are hardcore D-bag assholes. But Jesse is so aware of it, he leans into it, like to the point where he's almost charming about it that he's an asshole. He reminds me of like Steph from Pretty in Pink, James Spader, where he's such an asshole, but he's kind of charismatic about it. So you're like, God, I hate him, but I don't. Like,
oh wait, you weren't here last week. We were figuring out, to me, he reminds me of, what's his name? John Slattery.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Madman.
Mr. Sterling.
It's kind of like the wink. Yeah. He knows he's an asshole. Like, he totally leans into it. Whereas Jax is funny, because I think he knows he's an asshole. And sometimes it seems like he leans into it or just does whatever he wants. But it's so funny the few times, I guess it's at once or twice, where he becomes aware of it. Like, it takes him a while longer when he invited Kristen's ex, Alex, to the bar. And he didn't think it was a bad idea. And he's telling it to Danny. He's telling it to Jesse. And they're like, ooh, man, I don't think that was a great idea. And then he's talking to Luke about it. Luke starts losing his mind. And then it's the light bulb. And Jax is like, I fucked up, didn't I? And it's like, oh, he finally realized he fucked up. But at least he acknowledged it. He's like, oh, I fucked up. Yeah. So, you know, so there is some awareness, but it took him a really long time to figure it out. I also, one last thing, I don't know. So, like, none of the, besides Jax, Brittany, Kristen, everybody else is new, like from like nobody else was on, have been on other Bravo shows. All these other couples, are they all new?
They're new.
Like some of them might have been seen for like a second on something else. Janet was seen for like a second on earlier episodes of Pump Rules. And then, but yeah.
Oh man, Jason. Good God, he's boring. Good Lord.
Honestly, I would marry a boring Jason. I would rather have a boring Jason than a Jax.
Or Jesse.
or Luke or Jesse.
I mean, in hindsight, we're watching these relationships deteriorate in the past, but we know for a fact that two of these couples have since, I mean, you could argue about Jax and Brittany if that's real, but we know that the other couple, Jesse and Michelle, have already separated, and they already built that into the premiere when they both talked about it. But I just wasn't sure if these were, I really, even though he's sort of like a cliched token character, but Zach, the friend, is hysterical. He's very funny. Him calling himself a platinum gay because he's never been in or out of a vagina because of a C-section was funny. I've never heard that. That is hysterical.
Gold star.
Gold star, and then platinum. Platinum.
I've never heard that before.
Gay. Oh. Yep.
That's funny. Yeah. That's very funny. I'd never heard that.
That's
before.
Another one where Urban Dictionary.
Oh yeah, you're teaching. You're teaching us all the young slang.
Yeah. Well, I've known that one since I feel like college, if not maybe right out of after college.
I'd never heard that before.
I was a theater major, so fair. I knew a lot
fair,
about
fair,
this,
fair.
So,
yeah. Well, that was new to me, and I laughed. I think he's delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I'm glad that he's educating the masses.
Yes. Yes.
I'm still trying to work through his hairstyle. I don't think it's a toupee. I think it's an odd cut with a lot of dye.
Yes.
And I think it's the dye that makes it look fake. Mm-hmm. And then the hair is just so unbelievably.
It's very strange. It is very, very strange.
Yeah, definitely.
Not a problem we face.
No.
So,
no. Yeah, I'd take that. I'd take it.
I do want to transition to a different haircut on a different coast. And that is, we're going to go take it East Coast to Summer House real quick. Talk about we've got Kyle's mullet. Kyle has the mullet. You guys don't watch Summer House, but some of our listeners do. So we're going to touch on Summer House real quick. Summer House, Kyle is that man, he's the Jax of the East Coast. Basically, he's a little bit better than Jax, but literally the boys are having a race car themed party or whatever, not really F1, but it was just kind of like race or whatever. So they have this inflatable thing where they go around and they're on bikes, and literally this guy West is winning, and Kyle comes out from the side and pushes West over, and West ends up cutting the shit out of his face because he's wearing these sunglasses, and these sunglasses cut the side of his face. It was like, are you fucking joking with me, dude? How old are you? Five? Are you five? And you can't stand to watch a friend get beat on a stupid little race or something like that? It was so dumb. It was a good episode, but it was so dumb. I just was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It was kind of a transitional episode, but that was the biggest thing to me, was just, Kyle, grow up. You're 43 or 42. I feel like I was just like, come on. And then you think that your wife is too immature to have children? Shut the fuck up.
It's so funny to me that we're all about, Jordan's a little bit younger, but of all these people we're talking about, Stacey, you and I are the same age as them. Mm-hmm. And we're joking earlier about how old we are, that I'm having to look up what the kids are saying these days. And those, all these people, same age, are pantsing people, twisting nipples, pushing friends over. So how are we two different levels of early 40s? How is this even possible?
It boggles the way some of them party. I let that kind of partying go for the most part. I don't know how these people, especially some of the stuff they're rumored to do. I gave those up around hitting my 30s. How are they in their 40s? I don't know what they're snorting or not snorting or what, but it's beyond me how they can party like that and live that way.
Yeah. Even with money, honestly, like, especially the ones who have kids, I'm like, no, But oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't know how they do it like at all, but we also have, I want to celebrate the fact that also Summer House Martha's Vineyard is started season two. I'm very happy about it. I enjoy Summer House Martha's Vineyard a lot because also it's kind of, I mean, it's different because, I mean, A, it's an all black cast, which is fabulous, but also they are slightly younger in a sense than the regular Summer House cast. Because the regular Summer House cast, the Hampton Summer House cast is like early 40s. And I think they're trying to get some younger people in there. But then
Lindsay's my age, I think.
I think so.
She's like 37.
Yeah. And I think Carl's 40. And
so like mid 30s to mid 40s.
Yeah. Well, Amanda and Paige are like the youngest ones. And they are actually, I think Sierra's the youngest one. I think she's like 28 or 29. So
like a child to me.
I know. But anyway, but I like this group because they're kind of a little bit younger. They have to stay almost the entire summer together. And it's another like house show in that sense. Like Summer House, they come and go for the weekends. Like this time they're like all there for the entire summer. And it's so great. It's so great. And also I'm excited because there's a couple on the show, Jasmine and Silas. Silas is terrible. Silas is like, we were watching him last season, and I'm just going to say this is what most of the viewers said, that he was allegedly, like, I would say borderline, you know, emotionally and verbally abusive to his wife. It was on there. He is not on the season this year because he's been deployed. I think he's in like the Army Reserve or Armed National Guard, something like that. Or maybe Army, but he's been deployed, so he's not there this summer. So that's nice. So you just get Jasmine to herself. Mm. Also, she was really annoying last season because they had just gotten married, and she was like in like, I'm a wifey now mode. Like, I'm a wifey. She was totally that woman who has like the sweatshirt, the t-shirt, the tank top, and like, you know, the Juicy Couture like pants that all say wifey across them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's who she was. And you just were like, heaven help us all. So hopefully we get a different Jasmine this season. That's what I'm hoping. And we got some new blood and I'm excited.
Me too.
Very excited.
Me too.
Yeah. It's a good show. It's a good show. And I've never been to the Hamptons. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard. So I enjoy seeing different parts of the country without actually getting on a plane and dealing with people.
You know what could help us achieve our dreams of worming our way into Hampton Society or a compound in Martha's Vineyard?
What?
Subscribing to Pretty Corrupt Podcast. Oh my God, it's magical. Oh. You get notifications just dropped on your phone whenever we deliver episodes, which is Tuesday's Bravo Breakdown, Thursday's PCP Pop Culture, and then, of course, some PCP exclusive bonuses popped in there as well. And not just that, if you want to upgrade our tickets to first class, you can rate, review, and follow PCP Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. And of course, from those, you can find links to our personal accounts, Stacey's, Nate's, and mine, and follow along on our journeys that don't include the Hamptons yet.
And if you want to track all three of our phones, I'm cool with that. I think Jordan's would be fun as hell to track.
His will be fun to try.
Yeah, mine would be so boring.
I think mine, allowing anyone to track my phone would violate some like
international law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, leave a little mystery to my whereabouts.
Say goodbye, Jordan.
Adios.
Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it. like we do it, like we do it.